Today we talk to Brian Sumner. We also look at Colossians 3. This is the We the Exiles podcast.
We will not build the church according to the changing whims of an ungodly culture. We will change that ungodly culture by the power of the immutable gospel.
Welcome to the We the Exiles podcast. I'm your host, Cameron Wood, along with my co-host and brother, Chandler Wood. We appreciate you joining us today. In this podcast, we examine Christian culture in the light of Scripture. We believe in the sufficiency of Scripture, and our goal is to help others be bold and stand firm in a world that is increasingly anti-Christ.
And with that, we pray, Jesus Christ, may you be glorified and give us wisdom to speak clearly and boldly about your unchanging truth. Welcome to episode 8.
Episode 8. Man, 8 episodes. Time flies.
Yeah.
When you're having fun, huh? I have this article I wanted to kind of start the podcast off with.
Cameron's been coming across these articles.
I see these things. Well, I just think they're relevant to talk about, especially in light of what we're doing with this podcast. But on my phone, it's a Google phone, and if you swipe to the left, I believe, you'll see it's what they call the Google Discover, and it usually is articles related to like things you've searched. So it's funny that this article popped up because I haven't searched anything about what this article relates to, but it kind of popped up in my feed. Mm-hmm. But anyway, the article is in relation to Gwyneth Paltrow and her husband, I think it's Brian Falchuk. And I just saw the title of it because it only shows just a little bit of the title. And the headline of the title, this is what it is. Personally, I love that Gwyneth Paltrow doesn't live with her husband. That's the headline.
Who?
And this comes from an online magazine site or something called Jezebel. I don't think I've ever read anything from it before, but the headline was so striking. Obviously, with us being married men, you read that. Personally, I love that Gwyneth Paltrow doesn't live with her husband.
What in the world?
Yeah, so I started reading it, and the gist is apparently. It says he sleeps at his house when his children, Brody and Isabella, stay. And on the other 4 nights, he's with Paltrow. She goes on to say that she loves it. All her quote-unquote married friends say that the way that they live, not always living together, being married, sounds ideal and we shouldn't change a thing. Of course, she gets this from this guy, Michaela, or I guess it may be a girl, Michaela Boehm is her intimacy teacher. I guess they have intimacy teachers. I never knew that was a thing that exists. Taught her to keep her relationship fresh. So it's all about keeping your relationship fresh. But the article is interesting because at the very bottom of the article, and we'll have this on our website for a link for you to actually look at it and read it for yourself, for the source. But it says, considering 47% of Americans feel alone, left out, and lacking meaningful connection with others, it seems that there's very much something to Paltrow's expansive approach to family, which is this person writing the article, which I believe her name, I was looking for the author, Lauren Evans of Jezebel. But that kind of contradicts what the whole article is saying. It says, considering that 47% of Americans feel alone and left out, lacking meaningful connection with others.
Yeah, let's stop connecting.
And then she kind of says, well, it seems that there's something to it. She's, no, that would be backwards.
Yeah.
I mean, no.
Live together, that'll increase our.
That will strengthen our marriage because, you know, what could possibly go wrong being away from each other and actually doing that in a marriage? Like, where you. It's not like a business trip or something going. You're actually planning it that way. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, what can go wrong? Of course, this is the ideals and the structure of our modern day society and how they view marriage. But the headline was so striking because obviously the author of this article is praising it. She thinks it's a good thing, and we're both married. I mean, you've married for a couple of years, me 7 years, and. And even in that time frame, I can definitely tell you that is wrong.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, we know that that is from a worldly perspective. And so we, you know,
well, and
we expect the world to have, you know, just crazy ideas like that
about marriage. It's not surprising to me, especially in the sphere of like modern day celebrities and stuff. But I wanted to read it because here's the thing. I would venture to say that there would be some people within, I would even say within maybe Christianity, who would look at that and be like,
Is there something
maybe
to
that's
that?
Not that bad. Maybe there's something to that.
Yeah.
Just because it come, I don't get this, and this goes along kind of with this, but it's like somehow just because you're an actor or you have this fast following.
Yeah, you can literally do anything, say anything,
or that what you say has authority.
Mm-hmm.
And yet people in droves will just fall on their feet and their faces and to whatever they say.
Just the blindness of
our culture. Yeah, and it just further proves what we talk about on this podcast, what we see in God's Word. Mm-hmm. It just further reveals truth in that.
And it shows that we are going to continue to be separated from the world.
Right.
Obviously, we hold to the sanctity of what God has made.
Yeah.
And he's ordained and established and defined marriage.
And there's a clear degradation of that in our culture. I mean, it's every day. It's not just in this sense. I mean, this is just another example of the devastation of when we take our eyes off of what God says is right and true.
And I can tell you the answer to the problems that people are having is the answer is Christ.
Yeah.
I know for me and my marriage and any struggles that we've had within our marriage, Christ is the resolution.
Yeah, and, you know, people, maybe not necessarily some listeners who are listening to this podcast, but a lot of people would say, well, you guys, you're young, you don't know that much, you haven't been married that long, you don't know what the struggle's like and stuff like that. And for me, it's, it's not necessarily about experience as much as about what we see clearly defined in God's Word for me.
Yeah.
You don't have to necessarily, and that's in the workplace environment, sure, experience can mean something, but when it comes to living your life in the world, sometimes experience can be bad.
Mm-hmm.
It can be a bad thing. But just because you're experienced in your life, as far as like you've lived life, you've done this, you've done that, doesn't necessarily make you qualified to necessarily set specific standards when it comes to people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
The only standard that's set for us as Christians was set by Christ.
Yeah.
And that's the only standard that we need. Regardless of not you've been through a specific trial or you've lived life to the fullest and you know that you know you've experienced those things, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Experience doesn't necessarily doesn't necessarily make you qualified to speak on behalf of everyone else.
You can have all the experience in the world, but if you don't have Christ as your foundation and your viewpoint, then that doesn't even matter.
Yeah, it does.
But glad you guys could join us today. We are excited about this episode. I personally am really excited. I used to be into skateboarding a little bit, and we're actually getting to talk with Brian Sumner, who was a pro skater for a while in the 90s, early 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
So really interested to hear what he has to say. Wanted to mention before we head on is we actually have changed our Patreon setup. Cameron and I talked about it, and we just wanted to simplify it more. So we only have one tier on our Patreon, and that is $10. And we are asking people that want to sow into our ministry and this podcast, if you would commit to a year, $10 a month for a year. And that would help us to continue this podcast and also the ministry of Seeker and Servant. You will also get our With the Exiles mug that. And they came in. They look awesome. Cameron's actually drinking out of one now.
And it's just a little token to say thank you, a way to, you know, continue to show your support in what we're doing. After we just revised everything, it just made sense. We want to make it, you know, accessible and simple as we can. Yeah. Every bit of that, the money that comes in through Patreon is funding this effort.
For those that don't know, we actually record two episodes on Monday, and we release them on Tuesday and Thursday throughout the week. And, you know, even though we're just doing that on Monday, though, throughout the week, we're actually, you know, thinking of the topics and
editing
and putting in time there. And we're also on Monday, that whole day is pretty much filled up with, you know, getting
research,
everything together, editing the podcast, all this kind of stuff that takes away from, you know, what we do that financially supports us and our families. And so a lot of time goes into this, and as well, our ministry of Secret Servant. And we feel like God has given us these things to use for His glory, and we really want to use them and do them. And if you have enjoyed this podcast and you enjoy the music of Seeker and Servant and you're looking to sow into a ministry, we would love for you to join us and become an exile. So you can head over to patreon.com. That's patreon.com/seekerandservant. And you can become an exile there.
We're going to make it a mainstay. We've got to get it going, but we want to use Twitter as the way that we communicate with you guys. And so it's just an easy way to answer questions for you guys to maybe give us some feedback on the podcast thus far. And also, you know, reach out to us with maybe topics or ideas you want us to discuss on the podcast. And that's at We The Exiles.
At We The Exiles. We have actually grown a couple of followers since the last time we mentioned that.
So if you use Twitter or social media, follow us there. And again, be a part of the conversation. Join in on what we're doing with The Exiles. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk with Brian Sumner.
Leaving Shadowland, Seeker and Servant's newest EP, including the singles Where Would I Be and Fear of Missing Out. Check it out wherever you listen or download music.
Today on the show, we have a very special guest with us. You might know him for his skateboard career, especially if you grew up in the 90s. Born in Liverpool, England, he came to the United States at age 15 to join Tony Hawk's Birdhouse Skateboards. After coming to faith in 2004, the Lord really began working in his life, leading him to where he is today. He is a pastor, author, and speaker, and it is our pleasure to welcome Brian Sumner on the podcast. Brian, are you there?
What's up, you guys? How you doing?
Hey, good. How are you?
You guys hear me okay or what?
Yeah, coming through great.
Perfect. I'm doing good. We had a crazy weekend down at the beach, a big outreach, skating, jujitsu, a lot of churches actually together, which you don't always see too often, which was good.
Cool.
And so I'm just getting off starting Monday, hanging out with you guys.
Oh, yeah.
Actually,
yeah.
We wrote and sing one of my favorite songs, so I'm privileged to be here, guys.
Well, we're privileged to have you on the show. I guess to start things off, you mind giving us, I guess, a little bit of your history and your testimony as well?
Yeah, you know, I mean, you could just simply say that on our money in England, Charles Darwin. So that alone speaks volumes. You know, raised in Liverpool, England, a very eclectic group of ideas, people, religions, whatever you want to say. I had no exposure to Christianity. Grew up in like a little rough town called Walton, close to a church, but it was a big Catholic church. I never heard the gospel. No one ever really told me what life was about. Maybe that Jesus died, but never addressed an issue of sin or anything like that. And I was just a kid that played football, did some martial arts, fell in love with skating at about the age of 13 through watching, you know, the movie Police Academy 4. And then from that was my life, you know, and you finish school in England when you're 15. So imagine finishing school, doing some art college, and getting a phone call from these American companies to come and now live in California. And I don't even know the age of you guys. I mean, I just turned 40. So I'm guessing you guys are maybe in your late 20s, maybe what?
Yeah,
early
30s? Like, yeah, okay. Yeah, 28 and 26. Yeah.
So I know I just told someone the other day, you know, 60 doesn't seem so old. And they said, yeah, because you're 40 now. But, you know, I feel 20 or so. But I guess at that day, what I'm saying is that skating really wasn't that big. It had its heyday, then it shrank. And then I came into it at a time when it was blowing up again. This is right around the time, you know, DVDs were out. A thing called 411. And so skating just took off. And I became a guy, you know, that riding for Tony's company. You're in the core skate scene, but you're all over the world as well. Mm-hmm. Now you have a pro board, pro shoe. I mean, tech decks. There's video games. I mean, the whole thing just blowing up. And in a nutshell, what I'm saying is you're gaining the whole world, but still losing your soul. And I didn't know it. A couple of $1,000 a month, soon 10 or 20 or $30,000 a month at 18, 19, living right here in Huntington Beach where I love. And within a few months of all of that, falling in love, married, you'd say within a year or so, you know, we have our first son, and then life just begins to fall apart. We're fighting. We have no clue. She's a Mexican Italian, so some kind of Catholic heritage, and we just have no clue about God. And that's what brings me to Huntington Beach, brings me to a career. I'm not a citizen. And, you know, that's took me to about the age of what, 21, 22, just in total despair. And even today on my phone, I'm getting messages from people, even believers, who just don't understand marriage, have no clue. You know, you put two sinners together and what's going to happen? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's bad enough just being us. You know, Paul said, wretched man that I am. Now you put two sinners together and there's chaos. Soon I'm divorced and soon I'm looking at all these religions. You know, my Rastafari friends are very relaxed and we know why generally. You know, you can look to the state of Colorado for more information about that. All these different religions, different faiths. But really, to you guys, to anyone listening, it was when I was confronted with God's truth, opening up the Bible to Genesis 1, where God makes this radical claim. I mean, you might not have even realized it till a guy who's divorced and now depressed and basically suicidal reads, "Let us make man in our image." I mean, that's kind of a rude thing to write for God. What do you mean, God? I'm made in your image, but my life sucks. I'm divorced. I'm angry. I'm mad. Sure, I'm in the magazines, and I'd have been talking to you guys back then. You know, you probably were around 8 or 9, so probably not. And I'd just be talking about – you were playing with tech decks. You were playing video games, going in the Zoomies. So I'm just saying, I'd be like, yeah, you know, I'm in this magazine. This check came in. Oh, here's a royalty from this. And I had no clue. And I guess, and here's the interesting part, because I was raised, I just loved Bruce Lee. I loved this idea of truth and philosophy and what it did. And philosophy is a dangerous thing. You just think anything and can assume things. Oh, yeah. But if you're really trying to get to the bottom of it, this mindset of his kung fu to take away all what is inessential till the truth's revealed, I said, I'm going to prove there's no God. Because guys, I mean, listeners, if there's no God, you really don't matter. Either you were created or not. Either you were made or not. Mm. And if not, then you know what? Who cares about my divorce? Who cares about my pain? Who cares who's the president? But right. Obviously God began to speak. And it's amazing. And I'm going away to a camp this week. And just as I get to share my story, unpacking Genesis to Revelation, even in the midst of a testimony, seeing what God did for thousands of years, you know, I joke about this, but we were vegans back then. My wife still is. But picture being a guy like me who was all about the animals because of, you know, the Smiths and Morrissey and the vegetarian movement. And you read the Old Testament and this God who said we've died because of our sin in the garden, who's got this temple and this tabernacle and the tent of meeting. Every year he's telling basically these suicidal skateboarders, you could say, Brian, you're a sinner. Here's the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20. But all you got to do, Mr. Vegan, is take that lamb and shred it to pieces and somehow you're forgiven. You know, somehow your sins. I mean, it sounds funny, right? And you're going to put your hand on this goat and put the goat outside the city. I mean, hey, this sounds too good to be true, but God, this is barbaric. Now you get to the New Testament and here's John the Baptist, whose father's a Levite, which is actually insane to realize. I caught all this stuff when I was reading it, like, wow, this is amazing. And what does he say? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So everything that was written was pointing to Jesus. I was beginning to see this. And it was him who takes away the sins of the world. And I was going to God for my marriage. And because apparently I have this, you know, God-shaped hole in my heart that only he can fill. But really, it was when I began to understand, no, wait a minute. The world's cursed. I'm living with in a fallen state. And my marriage is fallen. And my life's fallen. And where's the hope? I need to be rescued. Mm. And it was then that God really began to unpack the text as I got into the New Testament. And the only issue was, you know, I knew about Jesus, but I didn't know him yet. And so as he was revealing my sin and that skateboarding isn't everything, that the world's glory and success is something we don't bring into the world and don't leave with. Ultimately, in the house I'm still in today, I came back one day from community service, from attending a church, and the pastor preached on Galatians 5 and Matthew 7. And I came home to realize, I know I'm dead in sin. I've been coming to you, God, for the wrong reasons. And I actually got down on my knees in the room adjacent to this room. I'm in my son's room. And I just said, God, I need to be forgiven. And it was, and you know, it was one of those prayers. I'll lay down my life. I'll give you my skating. I'll go wherever you want. But I really knew God was dealing with me. And I said, God, I'll even remarry this woman, which it sounds rude when you say it from a stage. But what I'm saying is the pain and hurt I had and the pain and hurt she had, God, I'll do whatever you want. And it was like a supernatural experience in an instant, praying, seeking him for 40 minutes. It was like the presence of the Lord met me there. And I don't mean the glory and, you know, the train of his robe, but I mean, I knew that I knew that I was a sinner. I was being forgiven his grace and mercy. And I was laughing and crying, saying, Lord. And it was then that he led me to repentance. And 3 weeks later, my ex-wife came to faith. And about 3 minutes ago, my youngest son, Jude, just entered the room. Why? Well, to boast in the Lord, because God saved me, saved her, restored our marriage. We're still living in the house that I prayed that prayer in. And my oldest son is 18 and turns 19 this year. I'm sitting in his room, and he just graduated, you know, 2 nights ago. My daughter, Eden Avery, wouldn't even be alive if it wasn't for Jesus reconciling our marriage. And then, of course, as I said, Jude just ran in, and we're a couple, a friend of ours just dropped off their baby to watch him. They're going through some complications with the new baby. So we're praying for them. So, yeah, as you guys said, I was a skateboarder. I'm a pastor, very much, I guess, an evangelist.
Right.
And I'm hanging out with you guys. So
yeah.
Praise the Lord. Again,
yeah. Good.
Well, yeah, definitely praise the Lord. And again, thank you for joining us. We,
of course.
We actually, not so much. And this is Cameron talking, but my brother Chandler and a friend of ours, Josh, they were into skateboarding more so.
Okay.
And I was not the quite a bit of the risk taker as Chandler was. Still went through a little bit of a phase, probably more on the trendy side of skateboarding than the actual skateboarding itself. But yeah, okay. so we had an awareness of who you were. And so, you know, when you first had, I guess, tagged us with our song and all and stuff, it was kind of neat.
Yep.
Just see how the Lord works and just brings people together through.
Yeah, and it's always,
it's amazing.
It's really amazing when you just see other people that you might have known come to faith and, you know, that are proclaiming the gospel. And it's just like, man, this, and that's why it's just awesome to talk to you now.
Well, it's amazing because I guess, you know, not only just with pastoring or whatever, but people that are either more introvert or outward processes. Mm-hmm. And I was at a church, The Refuge. They had like an evangelism conference I was speaking at. And as I went on the stage before anyone was in the room, they're playing this song. And I was like, what is this? I was in awe. Mm-hmm. And so it's, you know, and I'm from Liverpool. So, you know, the Beatles, what are you going to tell me about music? I mean,
right.
I can't sing and I can play. I think I might have even played some of your song. I'll joke around with the guitar, but I was like, this is awesome. And the reason is because it's a psalm. It's a song. It's singing a hymn. I like those kind of songs that I can repetitively play. And you can listen to it for 4 hours and it only makes you press in deeper. And it was one of those songs. And so right away I asked the guy, what is this? And he knew right away. And so I listened to it and outward processed it, tagged you guys. And to go back to what you said, you know, the amount of places I go and I'm in this town where there might not even barely be a skate park and these like 30, 40 year old like dads will show up and like, what are you even doing here? Isn't it so crazy that God saved you and God's doing this and God's doing that? I'm like, well, Not really, because if you're in the church and you don't know the Lord, or you're backslidden, or you just haven't gone in a while, the Bible Belt, it makes perfect sense that God saved me. And now, you know, it just seems like he used Paul, and I'm obviously not persecuting Christians like he was, but it just makes sense that God is. If he's redeeming a funny sounding English guy like me, and I encourage people to your music, to whatever, and that's it. It's just, how do we lift each other up? How do we get more out? And I'm one of those guys that absolutely, as Mark Driscoll used to say, redeems social media. If someone's going to follow me or check in with what Brian's doing, and what's this song, or what's this book, or what's going on in his marriage? We're living epistles, you guys. So become all things to all men. So yeah, I'm honored to be on here. So tell your brother I said, what's up? So
Yeah.
Good.
So you have an outside looking in, I guess, approach to ministry, because you didn't grow up in a Christian context. How has that shaped how you pursue ministry?
Well, here's the thing, and I was saying this to my son the other day, and this can sound critical, but it's not, because we are who we are. You know, I wouldn't go into one of your recording sessions and say, you know, guys, you should probably play like this, or you should probably sing like this. I could tell you, here's my opinion. And I've told many people, you know, about that song in particular and the versions you've had. I just like to share. But I guess I'm saying that to say, even as our pastor introed a younger speaker yesterday, he was referencing Paul's letter to Timothy. And if you think about what Paul says, he tells Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. So there's a specific work of an evangelist. I mean, we're being evangelistic right now. People listening, God loves you. You're dead in sin. Jesus is a redeemer. There's some evangelism, right? But for me, I think it's been affirmed now through people that trust Brian, you're an evangelist. So what I found, and not only because of who I am, but even people that seen it, affirming it in their own selves, said, hey, I don't know that we know what to do with evangelists today. Mm-hmm. Typically, a pastor of a church is more of a shepherd, and I understand that. But I'm saying that to say, for me, my outward approach was, first and foremost, why does no one evangelize me? Why was I around divorce, suicidal? There's so many churches here. There's so many Christians. Why was no one really evangelizing me? And I went from this guy making, you know, great money and all this stuff about my life to Jesus was calling us to follow and fish. And so I viewed like, this is what we're doing. And they state statistically that I think 75 to 85% of the church focuses on discipleship, while maybe 15, 20 is on evangelism. Mm-hmm. So my outward approach, and guys, this is big, not because I figured this out, it's just what we see in the text. But when I go to a marriage conference or a rehab, or if you guys as a band are like, what should we do? Guys, the Great Commission has to be central to all of it, because if I was married to your sister, how do I have a good marriage? By living the Great Commission. Mm. The Great Commission doesn't involve drugs. It doesn't involve world fame for your band. It might. God can use your band to do whatever. It doesn't involve, you know, living for self. Mm. So my point is, coming at it from the outside is, we Americanize, you know, from the West, everything. And I just think what we may miss sometimes is getting back to the call, which is equipping the saints. This very motivational speaker, this pastors with great intentions. And listen, I'm partnered with so many amazing churches, but at the end of the day, the only reason we are here is to lift up the Lord, not only enjoy what he's blessed us with, your musical gifts and podcasts. I'm going to jiu-jitsu in about, you know, 30 minutes to hang out with a bunch of friends. And at my age, I need the exercise, and it's great encouragement. But literally, the outward look to ministry is, we've got to keep the main thing the main thing. And Jesus was always going. And that's the first thing he said. And then as he died and went into heaven, he met them there on the shores. And what did he say? All authority has been given unto me. Okay, Jesus, here's, you know, seeker and servant with our instruments. Here's Brian with a skateboard. Okay, what should we do? Go. It's the exact same thought. It's the exact same thing. So I would just say a church is a place to equip, to bless and to lead. I mean, yeah, we disciple people, but the outward look for me is very, what are we actively doing? And Jesus said, don't labor in vain. So what are we laboring for? Not to gain salvation, but because of salvation. So that's kind of my process. Hopefully that threw some, you know, fuel for the next question or whatever, but yeah.
Yeah. That's well, the goal. Do you feel there is a clear dividing line between the Christian and the world?
And the hard thing is that the church then, when they're being persecuted, you know, the first 300 years, you've got the book of Acts, over, what, 30 years of miracles. At times they were in hiding, at times they were in open, and that was more strategic. Even the Apostle Paul said that the Spirit led him not to proclaim certain places, not to do this and that. I think the day and age we are in, particularly with musicians, 2 Corinthians 4:4, Satan's the god of this age. I mean, I could say something that makes some pastors cringe right now. If I mention, you know, the Illuminati and these funny things that people talk about, but you go back to the history of music and culture and influence. If you just watch YouTube or the television for a week, you tell me there are not things that are programming our culture and the youth of the church. I am going in the youth groups constantly, preaching this next week 7 times over 7 days up here at Forest Home, unpacking the identity of who we are in Christ and the lies of the serpent, the father of lies, because there's a dividing line in the sense of what everyone's trying to live into, which culture's presenting, you know, Satan's offering us this, and success, how we look, how we think, and being the CEO, having the best-selling album, having the most relevant podcast, as opposed to, I did not come to be served, but to serve. So the dividing line should be, are we known as his disciples for loving him, as we known as servants? And I do think Christians should stand out. It should be very different for how I approach the match today when I roll, for how you might approach what your music is about, who's it for. But do you need to say every single thing I sing has absolutely got to be only about Jesus? Sing about your marriage, sing about things you like, sing about whatever. But I'm more of a no gray area where I'm like, yeah, I would rather be, I mean, I can't imagine hanging out with the Apostle Paul and without just being like, man, this guy is on fire. And if he's saying imitate Christ, his rabbi, that's what we're meant to do. So
yeah.
I think the hard thing, and I'll answer it simply like this. And again, for those who are saying I'm going on, you know, English people, we have run of sentences, read C.S. Lewis or Jerry Packer, and I fit right in with how they speak. But I would say, you know, Americans make statements, you know, this is what I think. But I would just say that we might not have meant to do it, but if you were sitting talking to me and I was a pastor of 40,000 people, maybe you'd get more views and maybe I'd feel more accomplished and maybe I could play around with the sermons more. And I just think skating teaches you, you know, you've got to just hold fast to what's true and what's core. And that's really what Paul says. You know, I don't look back, I look forward.
Right.
So I feel like this idea of motivational speaking, and you know, I guess I can say I'm throwing rocks. If I walked into your church and I was suicidal and dead in sin, I don't need to hear that I'm the center of God's will and that God is just going to bless me. And if I'm a musician, that could mean I have a number one album. Like, that's, God can use that, but that's not the gospel, you know. I appreciate the reformers and the way they write and preach because I know what they're saying. A lot of what's being sold by the church today, I don't really know what's going on in the sermon. And I get done thinking, okay, I guess my life's meant to be good. And it should, believe me. If one of you guys was sick, heaven forbid, or I was going through something, God is a God of joy in the midst of adversity. But still, there's got to be a dividing line that what we hold to. Why do you write in awe? Who's this invisible God? Well, man, even when it's the worst, on my worst day, I'm in awe that he would die for me.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't think we'd have died for him. So hopefully that helps people to draw a line.
Yeah, that's the you know, point of this podcast. And kind of, you know, where Cameron and I sit. And God's really brought us through a lot of, you know, dealing with our pride and, you know, what do we want our outlets to be for? And, you know, we've struggled over the years with, you know, promotion and things like that. And it is it's a dividing line. And where we've kind of come to, and it's really encouraging hearing you talk about it, is, you know, whatever we put out, whatever we do, we want it to be for the glory of the Lord. And he can do whatever he wants with it. And, and, you know, whether that just ministers to 3 people out of the course of what we've done, praise God.
Well, I think it's easy. Or what we've seen and what we've dealt with, especially growing up in the mentality of the American dream. We write a lot about this because obviously we write from our own convictions and our struggles. So that's real Christianity, not just a facade. And it's so easy to get caught up in like you're saying, when you, I mean, if you spend 8 hours a day watching YouTube or watching, I would even say American Christian or not even just news outlets or anything, filling your mind daily with you know, worldliness and things like that, it's easy to fall into that, you know, success is defined by what you do and how you operate in the world. If you want this, you go out and get it. If you want to do this, you go out and do that. And you know what, whatever, we're, you know, our mission with the podcast necessarily isn't to, you know, harp on those who are trying to, I guess, be successful, but our view of success is not determined by what we can will or what we can do, but by what God has done, what Christ has done, and how can we be servants? How can we be tools to, like you said, if it's through an evangelistic mindset, great. If it's through edifying or encouraging the church, great. But yeah, that's super encouraging because we didn't, you know, obviously we, I mean, we've never spoken to you before like this. We know about you through Travis Allen and stuff like that. So you always kind of wonder how similar people are going to, or their views are going to line up with yours, especially because we want to bring people on the podcast who, they don't have to think exactly the exact way we think, but for the core stuff, the foundational stuff, it needs to be pretty close.
It's very important. And, you know, as you know, I do a podcast called Foolishness.
Right.
And that really... a good example for what you guys are saying, and I feel it particularly with musicians. My buddy Josh Harmony, who would be a great guy to speak to, honestly, very talented skater, like ridiculous folk music, worship, anything. And he just had this whole battle with the Lord where as his skate career slowed down, and he suddenly one sponsor would even stop paying him a couple hundred dollars less a month because it changed his identity. Mm-hmm. He literally almost had like a nervous breakdown, like, well, what do I do? And it was like he said, literally, Brian, I moved to Minnesota and I kind of freaked out because I really wasn't depending on God's kingdom. Mm. And when he said that, it was huge because, you know, we say seek first the kingdom, but do I?
Yeah.
That is hard. That is where you carry your cross. That is where you die to yourself, less of me, more than him. And Josh is this guy that would go play in all these, you know, bars. And listen, he went around the world with me. There'd be a Christian festival. He'd get to play. But in his heart somewhere, it was like, I feel like I want to go in the bar and perhaps play the relevant music. Mm-hmm. And then when someone is like, oh, you know, aren't you a Christian? Well, yeah, I'm a Christian. That kind of becomes our gospel. And he loves the Lord. But he had this 2-year battle where he went and got a job in Minnesota. He was trying to make amends, figuring out what he was doing. And God gave him this picture. And he got a hold of him probably the last 3 months and shook him to the core. And now he's back here. And he's just like, you know what? It was Galatians 1:10. Am I seeking to save man or serve God? Because even that man, you can be serving guys, and you know this, even in your young age, you're probably serving yourself, as am I. Mm-hmm. I would love if the marriage book that I put out sold 50 million copies, and then, you know what? I better know what to do with all that money that comes in because it's the Lord's. And to encourage you guys, I'm around a lot of, you know, actors and musicians and people that are in Hollywood or writing albums, and they're trying to find that line. And I think the more we try and look for success, it's almost like you see this distance over time where I have friends who their goal is to like be this actor. And when they'll sit with me, you know, as a pastor and their friend, and I'm pretty straightforward, I'll say, is your goal to be in the next Guardians of the Galaxy so that in an interview you can say, God bless you, God loves you? Is that the Great Commission? Is the Great Commission that you and I figure out how to get your music or my career or whatever we start out there and can write big checks to further the kingdom? And that's not really the way God works.
Right,
people should do that. 1 Timothy 6, guys, if you guys are very wealthy, support missionaries. People need it. It's out there. It's all God's money. But the issue is you and I can be building something and it's actually getting in the way of the gospel. If you put a song out right now, if in all and the next 5 songs, you become the next Hillsong or Passion or whatever band, and you say, God has taken us around the world for 20 years and we get to play on stage and sing, that actually doesn't mean that you even live the gospel.
Yes.
It means that your gift is now made a way for you to use this gift, and you might fight for that. That might be the central thing in your life when God has said, guys, as you're going, die to self, serve, proclaim. Yeah. I mean, K. Russo, the word of God. And here's the thing, though. The woman with the two mites, we don't even know her name. Don't even know anything about her. And she apparently did more than everyone that day, and no one knows who it is. But I'm guessing in heaven she has a great mansion coming, and you know what I mean? And she's been blessed by the Lord. Mm-hmm. And the hard thing is, okay, God, if it was 15 years ago for me, would I have 500,000 followers on Instagram? Is that what's relevant? No. Success isn't that you're Elon Musk or Bill Gates, or I joke, you know, Michael Jordan is a billionaire probably because we decided in the last 50 years that throwing around a ball filled with oxygen is relevant. I mean, just think about it.
For sure.
I mean, you think like a lot like we do. It's actually interesting because
Cameron and I are
the type of conversations that we have on the regular.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the daily conversations we have. So.
We're smiling back and forth. Yeah. This is like,
even if you mention the Beatles, I mean, you know, my wife and I fell in the various songs, certain bands, like, you know, the Get Up Kids or this band or that band or all the rest of it. But as we do, the thing to think of is, are we even going to hear this stuff in heaven? Are we even going to hear one Beatles song in heaven? Are we going to hear Elvis Presley? This idea that legends never die, guys, they've all died. Yeah, aside from Enoch and Elijah, Enoch and Elijah still got to die. I mean, they could be the end times prophets. I don't know. Point a man to die once and then judgment.
Yeah.
But aside from that, and that's what I'd say. So to me, and this might be too much, you know, boasting in you, but am I going to hear this song that you wrote that I've heard that day I was preaching in heaven? I'm going to say, yeah. I'm going to have to listen to In Awe in heaven. am I going to hear Love Me Do? Is it about the Lord? Am I going to hear some of the greatest songs? I mean, and that's really Bible 101. It was set apart to the Lord. It's a core band. And if you guys, you know, were my brothers or my sons or whatever, not that I'm that much older, I'd be like, guys, just write your music as a psalmist to the Lord, worship and praise and trust in him. Because here's the thing that you've got to know. You are musicians. I am not. So whatever your hand finds to do, that means that God's put in it. He's put this in your hand. So use it. And that's the beautiful journey. We always joke, you know, we're not waiting on the Holy Spirit anymore. He already showed up. He's waiting on us. So as you go and you use this music, I believe it's going to open doors. And I believe God's going to give you the desires of your heart. And I believe God's already made his promise. He's going to give you what you need. Mm-hmm. And that takes a lot of faith. So,
it's definitely, again, encouraging to have this conversation just because we think so much more alike than I even thought would be the case.
This is awesome.
I mean, Chandler and I, we're going to be, I know we reached out to you before. We're actually going to be coming through the California area, Southern California in, we're going to be in August. I know we had tried to set something up, but even still, I think we should try to get together at least to hang out with you for a few minutes just to see you in person. We'd love to do that. But man, it's been such an encouraging, how can people keep up with you and pray for you specifically?
Yeah. You know, and I used to be so shy about this because really I depended on skating and savings and whatever. And pretty much since I came to faith, I've been thrown on a platform and, hey, Brian, share what God did, and that's developed over time. And today I'm just pretty much like a full-time, you would say, urban missionary. So that means I go roll today jiu-jitsu, and I'm spending the next 5 or 6 days prepping 7 messages for next week. I have a bunch of meetings with people to do with marriage and some church stuff. I'm not staff. I volunteer, do everything. And so if people want to stay up to what I'm doing, I pretty much figured I don't want to go somewhere because people can pay me or not. Mm-hmm. I don't want to do a wedding or a funeral or go speak or go do whatever based on resources. I mean, the Bible says freely you've received, freely give. Mm-hmm. So everything I go do, I put online as far as to stay in touch with people through Instagram, through briansumner.net. Yeah, there's a lot of teachings or interviews or different things on the Foolishness podcast that we just launched about 3 months ago. And if people want to hear about, you know, marriage, particularly, the ministry is really missions. Marriage is ministry. So God redeemed our marriage. There's a lot of resources because people are hurting. A lot of it is a going ministry, traveling around the world and helping equip the saints, preaching and teaching, youth groups, rehabs, whatever. I guess if someone said, what is Brian, you'd say, I don't know. It's very ambiguous, but I know that God knows what he's doing with him.
Mm-hmm.
So I just need prayers for, you know, strength when there's opposition, because a lot of times it's me flying into somewhere for 3 days by myself, or it might be, you know, going away with my family for 10 days at times. So prayer for that. And even people that really want a partnership, which I was never big on that, but our church is like, Brian, don't rob people the opportunity to really send you. And that's it. And just prayer for souls and just to hear the Lord. I mean, he's clear in his word, but what seasons, you know, what's the album you're writing? What's the region you're going to? For you guys, I mean, just to be diligent and just to respond, connect with me, message me if they need to talk about their marriage or anything. I'm available as much as time permits. And that's it.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we can. We're actually planning on doing a marriage episode in the future.
Okay.
And so we're both married. I have been for 7 years, and Chandler's for about 2 years. And we deeply care about God's definition of marriage and how He set up marriage. And so we plan on doing that. So maybe in the future we could have you on, because we wanted to bring someone on who, and I know that's a big part of your ministry. So maybe we can have you on for that. But look, it's been an extreme pleasure. Yep. We've loved having you on, and maybe in the future we could do the same or vice first, and maybe go on your podcast and speak with you for a little bit. But Brian, it's been a pleasure. We hope you have a wonderful day, and God bless you, man.
God bless you guys. Thank you. Talk to you all soon. All right.
Okay, bye.
Then you pop the finger out. Click it.
Jerry, have you heard of this new podcast called We the Exiles?
John, I actually have, and I've been listening to it quite a bit.
What's the best way to stay in touch with what's going on, We the Exiles?
I have heard they have an incredible Twitter page.
What's their handle?
It is @WeTheExiles.
Oh, found it. Following them now.
Sick.
Where did you get that mug?
This thing? I thought you'd never ask. I got this sweet mug becoming a supporter of the We the Exiles podcast over at patreon.com. Becoming a supporter is easy. For $10 a month, you can support the We the Exiles podcast and the ministry of Seeker and Servant. Only $10. Not only do I feel satisfied drinking out of this amazing mug, but it brings me joy knowing that I'm supporting a Christ-exalting ministry. Head on over to patreon.com/seekerandservant. That's patreon.com/seekerandservant, and become an exile today.
Did anyone leave room?
Oh, maybe a little bit of pudding.
It's
time for dessert.
You love your pudding.
You open the word.
And it was cool talking with him, because he was so crazy to see how like-minded he was with a lot of things that we talk about on a daily basis.
Yeah, it was... It was really mind blowing just to, we knew pretty much where he stood with a lot of things, but just like right off the bat, just, and it was this like stuff that Cameron and I talk on a daily basis, and it was like we've known him forever.
And it's encouraging when you, because he's in California, and just it's so encouraging that you've never met him in person, but yet how God has worked in his life and shaped what he sees, obviously, is truth, because God's truth is unchanging, to be so in line with what way we see things. And so for me, that was super encouraging, because it can be easy sometimes to just, I don't know, just to feel kind of, it can be sometimes lonely in your Christian walk, especially when it comes to things, because we're still battling that issue with wanting to be liked, with our pride, and
that was really encouraging just to hear him kind of speak into our ministry a bit and just encourage us in that way, because it's easy to you know, forget those things, and it's good just to have people your circle.
We talked about it on our last podcast, but It's easy, especially being an artist and just having that pride and entitlement of sometimes it's easy to get caught up in the fact that you think, well, nobody's really doing anything or listening to our stuff or supporting mm-hmm. us. And it's not about what we can do or how others can. We want people to support us, yes, but more and more I'm finding that the more the Lord works on my heart, the more that he's making it as it should be about himself and mm-hmm. the realization that, honestly, and our audience said, I don't want you to take it the wrong way. We love you guys. Thank you so much. But honestly, I'm getting to the point where I care less and less mm-hmm. about what people think of necessarily from a standpoint of like being liked or being popular.
Mm-hmm. Or even what our definition of success is.
Right. And more so, those 1, 2, 3 or so people who reach out to us and tell us how the Lord's blessed us with, or this podcast or whatever has helped, you know, which is why we created these things, encourage their faith mm-hmm. or walk in their faith and stuff like that.
Because that makes it worth it.
It really does. That's what's important.
So we appreciate your encouragement
and your support.
Thank you guys. If you're tuning in, we are going to be looking at Colossians 3 today, in the Word of God. And, is it the whole?
We're going to read 1 through 17, actually.
1 through 17, okay.
And I'm there.
If you have a Bible and you're where you can look at it, you can look that up. If you're just driving and listening, you can just listen to us.
Yeah, you can. I'll start it, and if you want to read from 12, you have it pulled up, 12?
Let me pull it up.
Okay, 12 to... to 17. So I'll read 1 through 11.
1 through 11. Colossians 1 through 11.
3, 1. 3.
Colossians 3.
1 through 17. And then I'm going to read 1 through 11. Then you'll pick up in 12 to 17.
All right.
Got that pulled up. But if you have a Bible, I'm going to start here. Colossians 3 and verse 1. It says, "So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death what belongs to your earthly nature, sexual morality, impurity, lust, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, God's wrath is coming upon the disobedient. And you once walked in these things when you were living in them. But now put away all the following: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and filthy language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self. You are being renewed in knowledge according to the image of your Creator. In Christ there is not Greek and Jew, circumcision and uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and free, but Christ is all and in all.
Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of God, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called, in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him."
Amen. We have there's several things here, some points that in our study beforehand that I jotted down, specifically starting in verse 10. Verse 10 states that, "And have put on the, since you have," well, I'll start in 9. "Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self. You are being renewed in the knowledge according to the image of your Creator. We have, through Christ's resurrection, put to death our old self," mm-hmm. right? "And we have been raised to newness of life with this new self."
Mm-hmm.
So this new self should be a reflection, like it says, of the image of our Creator. And a lot of the epistles, they're always hard-hitting, as they should be, to remind us of, well, of we need to get our act together a lot of times. But just the way that, I mean, that's a weighty thing to be a reflection of the image of your Creator. God created us through Christ being raised in newness of life. We are supposed to be imitators of Christ. And what a reminder that we daily need of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when we wake up in the morning, we're bent towards sinful thoughts, sinful actions. And we have to intentionally wake up, you know, with this in mind and, you know, be in prayer before we even get out of bed or even leave the house, you know, to have the word of God in our hearts and to think upon this truth. We have to wage war with our old self because it's still gonna come up.
Well, it wasn't always like this, but for most people, it probably is. But most people probably have their cell phone or something probably near them, near their nightstand. I've recently made a practice to try to I put my phone in a completely different room. One's for better sleep and less distraction, but also it just helps me to not, first thing in the morning, you know, grab my cell phone and then begin, because what I'll begin doing is just kind of checking out. I don't necessarily do a bunch of Instagram and stuff like that. I always look at like news articles, things like that throughout the day. And 20, 30 minutes go by and I've just filled my mind with everything that the world has to offer before I've even set my mind on Christ for the day. And that wears on you. Before you even get out of bed, that wears on your soul. And
yeah, I really need to stick to that. You know, Reagan and I have talked about doing that, and I think we've done it some, and then I just let it fade. And
but in today's society, we've talked about this. We'll continue to talk about this because this podcast is centered on that, encouraging and edifying, specifically our generation. But you know, we live in a very undisciplined world. I'm a byproduct of that undisciplined world, especially there's a lot of things that it's hard and difficult for me for discipline too. But when it comes to your faith, it's not always, there are great days. We know this. There are great days that everything just feels right in your walk with Christ. Mm-hmm. And then there are days when it doesn't, and it requires discipline specifically on those days. It requires, you know, I may not feel like getting in your word and praying, God, but I need to. I must.
And I think that in 10, where it says, put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge. You know, how do we know God? How do we get to know God more? How do we get to know how we should live, how we should act, how we should speak? It's through the word of God. Mm-hmm. It's through the Holy Scriptures.
So we need this to be shaping our minds daily. Not the various things that we can easily distract ourselves with. And another thing in verse 13, it says, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a grievance against another, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you are also to forgive. Sticks out to me. It can be easy to forget that you are just as deserving of God's wrath as every other person on this planet. This call here that we see in verse 13 of this passage is to remind us that more than anything, we who are in Christ should be the most compassionate, because we know that we've had the compassion of Christ laid on our lives.
Yeah.
So a good reminder for us here too is to approach the lost with compassion, knowing that their hearts are darkened by the world, and so at one time was ours.
I mean, Christ has had forgiveness on us, you know, more than we could even count or imagine. And it's easy to forget that sometimes. It's easy to feel entitled and like, you know, I deserve to be where I'm at. And we forget these characteristics that we need to live out. And when we look to Christ, we can see that very clearly.
Yeah. And then kind of closing out this section in verse 16, he says, let the word of Christ dwell richly among you in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And continuing on, whatever you do in the word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and Father through him. And another reminder for us that the whole of Scripture is the word of Christ. Everything we do should be done in the name of the Lord through his word. And again, that is very counter to what the popular way of doing church is today. Look, I feel like the reason a lot of times people don't want to, and people use the excuse, and we're not, we're going to have an episode on this podcast because I don't want people to think that it's just only all God's word, all God's word. It's not. You know, we do, there is an importance to the Holy Spirit, just as there is to knowing Christ. But like Chandler said, how do we know this Christ? How do we fall deeper in love with our Lord? Mm-hmm. How do we grow closer to him without having the physical incarnation of Christ with us?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's through what we've been given.
And it's the Spirit of God that illumines our eyes to see what we're reading.
Right.
I mean,
and
apart from that, we could read a page of the Word and completely reject it, or we could read a page of the Word and think this makes no sense at all.
Yeah, and there's, I understand theology and doctrine, things that we will talk about pretty significantly on the show, in this podcast. They are important. They are super important to the Christian faith. But we also know that theology and doctrine doesn't make you a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Christ saving you being saved by the work of Christ, being brought to newness of life through Christ's burial and resurrection,
mm-hmm.
is the saving work that brings you to him. We get that. We know that. But there is such an immaturity that we see, an undisciplinedness that we not only see in the modern day context of church in general, but in our own lives.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just have this, I have this earnesty about me to take these things seriously. And Brian also talked about like C.S. Lewis. He also talked about J.I. Packer, both people I've read from. And we'll talk about a lot of old day guys too, because there is this earnesty, this desire to know more and more of their Lord. And not just the way that they presume he should be known, but mm-hmm. what he's revealed in his word.
Yeah.
And when you read about their histories and their churches and you read about their faith, it has such power
mm-hmm.
to it. And we ask these questions, well, why isn't it like this today? Or, you know, that was during the intellectual age and people, you know, it was a different time. And God's truth is unchanging. So for me, it's like, when it comes to holding fast to the truths of God, to be okay with saying, look, I don't really like the gray area.
Mm-hmm.
I want black and white. That used to be what most men and how most Christian men operated.
Yeah.
And now it's one of these things where, well, I don't know, maybe there is gray area there because, you know, of the world around us is changing and there's just so much things. And that's really a false thing too, because a lot of the things we see in the world, it may be amped up to 11
mm-hmm.
because we have access to everything, but the same sin was going on back all the way mm-hmm. in Genesis. So we don't, there hasn't been new sin.
Yeah.
Just like there hasn't been new truth.
Things that are clearly defined in Scripture are what they're clearly defined to be. I mean, if in our flesh we like to make things that are black and white gray because we want to leave room for our sinful desires.
Yeah. I mean, that's the only reason. The only reason I can think of why we wouldn't want to just to trust God at his word is because we in some way know that if we do that, then that means, man, we're going to look even more sinful than mm-hmm. we want to admit to ourselves. And for us and with We the Exiles and everything we're doing here, it's about God and his glory. It's about his truth being the foundation for what we believe and why we believe, because we've been saved through faith in Christ. And we want to know our Savior more. We want to trust what He says is right and true, and all the Scripture from Genesis to Revelation is the words of Christ. Mm-hmm. So, just take that as some encouragement. Again, Chandler and I are not scholars. We do a lot of this. We want the Word of God to be the foundation of this show. That's why we want to close out every episode with that. But we're not scholars or theologians. We just, along with you, want to walk with you as we journey on in this race that Paul talks about in this world together.
If you listened to today's podcast and you enjoyed it, let us know what you think at Twitter. Our Twitter handle is @WeTheExiles. You can give us a follow and you can comment to us there. But until next time, keep your eyes on Christ and fight the good fight. This is We the Exiles.